Hello, everyone. We're wrapping up Galatians, and today Paul's going to give a summary and a farewell in this last little bit of Galatians. Paul does not really introduce any new concept in these final words. Instead, he highlights what his most important points are in the letter, and he's going to contrast circumcision and, more broadly, the works of the flesh versus the work of Jesus Christ. And actually, reading through this, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the story of Mary and Martha. So I'm sure you remember the story. Jesus teaching, and Mary, she sat there at Jesus' feet, and she's just soaking up the learning and enjoying his teaching, while Martha, she's busy over there with doing all sorts of work. And when Martha complained, what did Jesus say? And Jesus said, picking up in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Well, while the parallels, I admit, are not perfect, both Martha and the Judaizers put the priority on doing stuff in an effort to please God, but Jesus and Paul are both pretty clear saying, No. It is in being in relationship with Jesus Christ that matters, right? So I'm going to read to you the conclusion of this letter to the Galatians, and then we're going to talk about this text and how he wraps up this letter. Galatians chapter 6, going through verses 11 through 18. "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." Ultimately, Paul, he's going to give us in this last little section three primary takeaways he wants us to remember, and not as just as a conclusion in this little section, but also kind of three takeaways for the entire letter of Galatians. And the first one that I want us to focus on is that an outward showing of Christianity is not motivated by the truth of Christ. An outward showing of Christianity is not motivated by the truth of Christ. And we'll pick up at verse 12. "Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised." And we're going to stop there for just a moment. We should be already alerted to the problem just with those few words, but let's take time to remember for ourselves what flesh means for Paul in this particular verse, because how we define our words is important, right? In simple terms, Paul refers to flesh as our physical body, the part of us that is stuck in the here and now, and it is bound to the material world, and it is the part of us that can be seen and heard and touched, right? He uses flesh in contrast with the spiritual side, the part of us that it's still real, but for which we cannot see or hear or touch, right? Since that is how Paul is using flesh as the visible part of who we are, then making a good showing in the flesh means getting folks to do things outwardly, to be seen by all, apart from what's really important, right? Yes, Paul is focusing here on circumcision, but that is the discussion he's having with the Galatian churches. But let's not miss the larger principle. Paul believes all works of the flesh, all outward good works divorced from a relationship in Christ, is about show and not about truth or righteousness. So what makes us in right relationship with God is grace through faith, right? And we can look at, even just within the same letter that Paul writes, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Paul's saying, hey, ultimately, it's by the grace of God, and I know that grace, I receive that grace by faith in his Son. And so Paul tells us often righteousness is by grace through faith. And it's not by things you can see or even good things, right? So think about this. An Israelite getting circumcised is a good thing, but it was a heart right before God that brought the Israelite in right relationship with God, not the circumcision, nor any other work of the flesh. Just like circumcision did not make an Israelite right before God by itself, baptism, church attendance, and charitable giving do not make you right before God here and now. Just like we've talked about before, those are all good things for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but without faith, those actions are just for show. So let me give you another example. One of the largest evangelical denominations in the world conducted some research on their own members and concluded that probably only about 50% of their members, only one out of every two members, had genuine saving faith in Jesus Christ. And you go, how can this be? Because in that group, to be a member, you had to tell people that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You had to get baptized, and you had to be accepted by the church as a member, so the membership around you would need to believe that you were a genuine Christian. Well, people can put on a good show, can't they? And so for too many, it's about Christianity is about culturally fitting in. These people want to play the part of Christian. So friends, family, or colleagues feel they are part of the crowd, or they want to play the part of the Christian so they have a sense of religion without actually knowing Jesus Christ. Some pastors actually help this by rushing to baptize and add to membership because everyone wants to see a growing church. Everybody wants to see those ABCs of church, right? The A, attendance, B, baptism, and C, cash and checks. Growth in those ABCs give you a chance to brag, and decline or stagnation in the ABCs leads people to start whispering bad things about you behind your back. And if we look at verses 12 and 13 again, these type of things were happening then. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. Circumcision was in part about boasting. Look, I can count another person circumcised because of my work. Circumcision was also about persecution, likely both internal in the church and external. If you were circumcised, then this subgroup of Christians won't be hounding you anymore. Also, if you get circumcised, you're less likely to be bothered by people outside the church because now you're more Jewish and the Jews were okay within certain groups of society and not part of that crazy new religion. Do people try to adjust their Christianity today for bragging and to avoid persecution? Sure they do. If you just adjust your stance a little on, say, sex outside of marriage, on drinking and drugs, on insert controversial topic here, you will feel less persecution inside and outside the church. All you have to do is put on this show that you are like the rest of the world, and the world won't bother you anymore if you look like them. And as long as those ABCs keep improving, everyone is happy, right? But bragging and avoidance of persecution are not really reasons to run from the truth, are they? So the circumcision and following rules, following the show of Christianity, isn't about truth. It's about avoiding persecution. It's about bragging rights, but it's not what is good. And so we're going to move on then to our second takeaway from Galatians. The only thing worth boasting about is actually the work of Jesus Christ. Picking up in verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Oh, what you don't see in Paul's letter is that he wasn't supposed to say what he said. Because this word that is the root of crucifixion, this word crux, it was not supposed to be mentioned in polite company because of how horrific the crucifixion was. We actually have some writing from the historian Cicero, and he wrote how people used different euphemisms like hang him on an unlucky tree instead of using this word crux, because you just don't use that word. You're not supposed to. And here is a word that Paul is not supposed to use in a letter, yet he's saying, I boast in what is unmentionable to you all. Do you see the powerful shock Paul is trying to give his audience? He could have said, I boast in the work of Jesus Christ, but instead he uses precisely what is revolting to the average Greek, to the average Roman, to the average Jew, to show how very opposite genuine Christianity is from the ways of the world. And he follows that up by saying, as far as he's concerned, he could care less about the ways of the world. And he doubts that the world actually cares about him either, right? And why would Paul boast about something so shocking? Let's look at verse 15. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. The point of the letter isn't really about circumcision or not circumcision. We already talked about that back at chapter 5, because Paul says almost the exact same thing in verse 6 of chapter 5, right? Now, the point of everything is becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you only become a new creation by the grace of God. In other words, you only become a new creation by a gift from God. So, let's play a little game, all right? Let's say you're walking down the street one day, eating a hot dog, or whatever your favorite food is, and before you realize it, you can't breathe. You're choking, right? And you collapse onto the ground, and you're unconscious. Now, a bystander runs up to you while you're passed out and is able to dislodge the hot dog, or whatever your food is, and a few minutes later, you slowly come back to the world of the living. Now, when you get home, do you brag about how skillfully you gave the universal choking sign? Probably not. Maybe you brag about how gracefully you fell to the floor when the lights went out. Not likely. Maybe you brag about how good you looked while your hero performed abdominal thrusts to push the food out of your airway. Not likely, right? It sounds ridiculous, right? It does sound ridiculous. But so is saying God has a gift for you that you earned. Did you get that? It's ridiculous to say God has a gift for you that you earned. If it is a gift, you did not earn it. Otherwise, if you earned it, it would be pay and not a gift. So what do you brag about when you get home after nearly dying? You brag about the work of your Savior, the person who saved your life, right? So, what is Paul bragging about? He is bragging about his Savior, the one that saved his life. What should every Christian brag about? Jesus Christ, and how Jesus died as a willing sacrifice to bring those who put their faith in him into right relationship with God. We should all be bragging about Jesus Christ. Now, here is something I remember in some training with Red Cross. If someone is choking and you ask them if you can help them and they're obviously telling you no, it's their choice to say no. And you should not help them out until they change their mind. Other than you should always call 911, okay? Just make sure you call 911. But if they're saying no, you can't do abdominal thrusts to them. You have to stand there and just wait for them to pass out or for them to change their mind. Now, while Jesus Christ wishes all to be saved, he will not save people who do not want to be saved. Jesus says, "Follow me." And many say, "No, thank you. I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to try to work things out. And I just want enough religiosity to feel good about myself." But to say yes to salvation, to being saved, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. This is no credit to you, but completely the work of God. Just like saying yes for help as a choking victim is no credit to you. You are making the obvious choice to live, right? But the credit goes to the Savior. What does it look like to put your faith in Jesus? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. So let's answer that question. It looks like loving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love," or remain in my love. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Let's unpack that a little bit real quick. Jesus expresses that if you love him, you're going to desire to follow his commandments and you will keep his commandments. Following the commands of Jesus is not blindly following rules. If you're just following the rules, you're missing the whole point. Because Jesus' commands include love God, love your neighbor, and love one another. Love takes more than activities you force yourself to do, which is what Paul describes as works of the flesh. But love is expressed in your delight to sacrifice for God, for others, especially sacrificing for the brethren. So, we covered how focusing on the outward visible works is not what we are called to do. But we are to focus on our faith in Jesus Christ, which leads us with no boast except for what Jesus has done for us. Our final takeaway that Paul writes about is it is our position as a new creation by grace through faith that brings us blessings, not anything we do. Picking up at Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, "And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." Little tangent. We have limited time today, so while I would like to talk about some of the difficulties in some of these verses, because some interesting things happen in these three verses, I'm not going to have time to go through all these interesting things. Feel free to connect with me later about some of the things like phrases, like some of the phrases of Israel of God, grace be to your spirit rather than grace be to you. And of course, there's the famous bearing the brand marks or bearing the stigmata of Jesus. All very interesting stuff. Don't have time for that right now. Connect with me later if you're interested. So back to Galatians. Our blessing is because of our relationship to Christ, not what we do. Just like the heir to the English throne didn't work a day in his life to earn the benefits of being an heir, we receive blessing from God as heirs through Jesus. Those who walk by this rule, good question about, I'm sure you're thinking, what rule? Well, he's pointing back to verse 15 that he just had, right? It's all about becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. And verse 16 says, those that are a new creation, they're going to receive peace and mercy. And verse 18 wishes grace of the brethren again, all those born of God, right? So we have grace and mercy going on together here in these verses. And think about it. Grace and mercy are two sides of the same coin. Grace focuses on the head, the giver of blessing as the one who is generous. And mercy focuses on the tail, the receiver of the blessing, showing the receiver is unworthy to receive the blessings from the giver, the blessings that he or she receives. Does God give generously to those who are unworthy, those who need mercy? Absolutely. Because no sinner, which includes all of us, that includes me and includes you, can ever be worthy. They can never earn the right into a genuine relationship with a pure and holy God. But what does God do? God extends his love to us anyway. He extends his love to sinners to bless us, to give us peace, and so that we may enjoy relationship with him forever. And that's the message of Galatians and the continuing message of the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. We are all sinners. We are all incapable of earning right standing before God, but God loves us so much that he sent his son to live among us, to die on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, and to rise up again in victory over sin and death, so that all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ may know God, may love God, and may enjoy being in the presence of the glory of God forever. So, do you want to know what many of us pastors worry about? We worry that many people are really good at playing the Christian game. Meaning, they are very good to look like a Christian outwardly, but they don't actually have Christ inside. These people are playing this game so people will think they are a Christian, or they're playing this game so they have enough religiosity so that they feel good about themselves, but they don't really love Jesus. So many of us pastors ask, do you really love Jesus? Or like those Paul was speaking against, are you just doing stuff outwardly to play the Christian game? And my hope is that you who are listening today, that you know Jesus. I hope you have put your faith and trust in him to be your Lord and God and Savior. And if you haven't, or you are not sure, make sure you talk to me or Pastor Dan, and we'd love to talk to you more about it. Make sure Christianity is not just an outward showing for you, but you are truly a new creation in Christ by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's our conclusion of not only of this passage, but all of Galatians. I hope you've enjoyed learning from Galatians. And let me just pray for you right now. Lord God, Heavenly King, we do praise you and thank you for your goodness and mercy and your great love. We ask that you do bless us, you draw us into right relationship with you, that we do not just have a Christianity of rules and outward signs, not a Christianity just made of the flesh, Lord, but a Christianity made of grace through faith, that we would know you and love you, that we would love those around us, Lord, and that you would be glorified, that we would boast in you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the good work you've done in us, and that we might praise you all the length of our days. We do thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray in your most holy name. Amen.